My brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you his peace. We see the compassion of Christ in the gospel today, where they were trying to seek a little, as he said, deserted place to rest and eat, and they couldn't do that. The crowds were just amazing, the numbers. Could hardly imagine the numbers of people that assembled, you know, crowds of 5,000, 20,000, and so on. So he goes across the lake, but that lake is not very big. They can watch exactly where they're going. So as the Lord is going across the lake on a boat, you know, they just ran around the lake and got there ahead of him. So our Lord couldn't avoid the crowds and moved with, gospel says, with pity, for they were like a sheep without a shepherd. He taught them at great length. Today, I'd like to talk about Our Lady. One little story that I often tell is the story of Mother Teresa, where someone asked Mother, why is the Blessed Mother so important? And if you knew Mother Teresa, she had very simple wisdom, but she kind of blow you right off your feet, you know, knock you right over. And she said to this person, she said simply, "No Mary, no Jesus." That's why Mary is important. No Mary, no Jesus. And I thought about it. You know, I thought about her simple little answer. I knew Mother. You know, she used to come to the Bronx a lot. And when she'd come in town, you know, sisters would call us up. "Would you like to say Mass for Mother Teresa?" I wouldn't even say yes or no. I'd always say, "Oh, how many brothers can I bring?" You know, because everybody liked to see Mother. You know, I remember one time I brought her, I went down to say Mass for her, and usually after Mass she would stay right in the chapel and make her Thanksgiving. Well, this one particular day, I was in the sacristy taking off the vestments, and she comes in, and she's standing there, and then she had a grin from ear to ear on her face, and she reaches in her pocket and pulls out a business card. And she says to me, "Father, have one of my business cards." Now, who is going to think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta with a business card, right? It's not like any other business card you ever saw. Her name was on there. There was no phone, no fax, no address. But it was one of her favorite sayings. See, this guy, he was a Hindu, and he had gone to speak to Mother and there in India, and he said to Mother, "Mother, would you give me one of your business cards?" And she looked at him and she said, "What is a business card?" So he comes back and he finds out from the sisters one of her favorite sayings. And then he made 50,000 cards with that saying. So she was giving them out, her business card. And part of that I mentioned this morning was when she said, or last night, "Silence, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. When you pray, you believe. The fruit of faith is love, because once you believe, you want to love. The fruit of love is service, because love is always shown in serving. And the fruit of service is peace." So that's Mother Teresa's business, okay? There you got it, right there. Fruit of silence is prayer. Fruit of prayer is faith. Fruit of faith is love. Fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. Well, she said, "No Mary, no Jesus." Why then Mary so important in the plan of God? I'd like to go through four things just to show you, or maybe five, how significant she is. Number one, of course, without Mary, there would have been no incarnation. She was specially prepared by Jesus. You know, our Lord appeared to a woman named Bertha Petit in Belgium. She was a mystic. And he told her, "My mother has two qualities to her heart, immaculate and sorrowful." He said, "Immaculate is what I gave my mother. From the very beginning, I kept her from original sin. I filled her with a fullness of grace that some saints say was greater than all the angels and saints put together." Because Jesus was going to take his very flesh and blood from her. That was immaculate. He said, "Sorrowful is what my mother did for me. She shared every one of my joys and sorrows." And he said, "Therefore, I want my mother to be invoked as the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary. As a son, she said, he said this to Berthe Petit, as a son, I want that. As God, I command that. This is a beautiful way to invoke Mary, the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary. So Mary was prepared to be the mother of God. That's why we waited on her, her words to the angel, let it be done to me according to your word. Notice she prefaced it by calling herself the handmaid of the Lord. She was simply saying, I am here to serve my God, whatever he wants. And then she said that. Remember, we used to call it her fiat. That's like the little kid that was told to draw a picture of something from the life of the Holy Family. This little kid drew a car, you know. And the nun who was in charge of the class didn't know what it was. He said, that's Our Lady's fiat, you know. So Mary gave her fiat to the angel, okay? But Mary shared the joys and the sufferings of her son. And therefore, it had to be on Mary that he was ready to give his divine son. The greatest act of love. God so loved the world that he would give his only begotten son. But there had to be somebody on the part of humanity who could respond to that love as much as any human creature could do it. And that was Mary. That's why she was preserved from original sin. That's why she was given that fullness of grace. So that when she said, let it be done to me according to your word, the entire universe changed. Because God descended into his own creation. St. Francis used to say, I don't know whether to admire more than at the moment of the incarnation, whether more the divinity descended down to the level of humanity, or that by becoming man, Jesus raised all humanity to the level of his divinity. But without Mary, that could not have happened. She had to be the one who would give that loving reception of Jesus. Let it be done to me according to your word. Huh? She believed. That's right, when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth said to her, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The moment your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed in the things that were told her. See, Eve could have been the model of motherhood and womanhood, but she disobeyed. Pride and disobedience led her to sin and brought destruction to the human race. Mary, by humility, handmaid of the Lord, and obedience, let it be done to me according to your word. She, in some way, made up for the sin of Eve, okay? And she brought about the incarnation. As Mother Teresa said, Mary gave God permission. And that's what we should do, see? So the first reason we honor Mary, because without her, there'd be no incarnation. Second reason, we can say another beautiful reason to love Mary, just go to the wedding feast of Cana. Remember, she tells her son they have no wine. And he calls her woman. Remember that? And I know I've mentioned this everywhere I go. You know, they drilled this into us in the seminary. There's no other known ancient example in Greek or Jewish writing where a man ever called his own mother woman. But he called her woman because she was the woman of Genesis. You know, when God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. See, she was the woman. So what happens at Cana? They have no wine, huh? So she tells her son they have no wine. He says, woman, how does this concern of yours involve me? My hour has not yet come. In other words, you want it in plain English, right? Today, how would you put it? Mom, don't get me involved. It's not my problem. Because if I do, I'm going to be in trouble. I'll be heading toward the cross. What does she say? Does she back away? Does she already forget about it? No, she didn't say that. With great trust, she tells the servants, do whatever my son tells you. And what does he tell them? Fill up the jars with water. They weren't looking for water, they were looking for wine. But they did it. They obeyed. What's the next thing he tells them to do? Take some of that out and bring it to the maitre d' and have him taste it. The guy says, I'm going to lose my job. He's going to take a fool, making a fool of him, bringing him water. But he did it. And it was the choice wine. And remember, what was the result of that first miracle? That was the first miracle of Jesus. Physical miracle. What was the result of that miracle? Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Mary was the mother of that faith. Because it was her faith when Jesus said, you know, don't get me involved. Do whatever my son tells you. Her last recorded words in scripture. It was that faith of Mary that brought about the faith of the disciples, and they are the beginning of the church. Third time we see Mary again at the foot of the cross. And woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Because the blood and water coming from the side of Christ, the early fathers of the church saw that as a semblance between Adam, when Adam was put into a deep sleep, and God took the rib from Adam and formed Eve. So Jesus was the new Adam, dying the sleep. He was sleeping the sleep of death. His side was pierced. The blood and water come out, which symbolized the church. See, the water symbolizes baptism. The blood symbolizes the Eucharist. Those are the two main sacraments of the church. And so, the church as, like Eve, the spouse of Christ, the church is the spouse of Christ. So, just as Eve was taken from the side of Adam, so the church, by the blood and water, is taken from the side of Christ. And whenever you have a birth, you gotta have a mother, right? Woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Fourthly, something very important to remember. You know the reason why we give Saturday to Our Lady as her day? It's because, remember, from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, the Blessed Mother was the only disciple, because she was his disciple as well as his mother, she was the only disciple of Jesus who awaited the resurrection. Of all the other women, who did the best? Mary Magdalene, didn't she? And she goes on Easter Sunday early to anoint the dead body. She wasn't waiting for the resurrection. And yet Jesus had predicted it three times. Who did the best of the men? John, the beloved disciple. He didn't believe until he got into an empty tomb and he saw it empty. Then he believed. Mary didn't go to the tomb because she knew he would rise from the dead. There was a great theologian by the name of Hans Urs von Balthasar who said it was Mary alone of all the disciples of Jesus who kept alive the hope of the church for the resurrection. So that's why Saturday is her day. Because she kept alive from Good Friday to Easter Sunday the hope of the resurrection. And finally, we can look at it in a fifth sign, Mary, that when John in the book of Revelation says the heavens opened and a great sign appeared in the heavens, you know, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head, a crown of 12 stars. And what happens? Right after that comes the dragon. Remember the great red dragon. The woman and the dragon are always in conflict. Even from Genesis, when God said, I'll put enmity between you, the devil, and the woman. See, Mary is always in this role of the struggle of her son and his church, you and I. Okay? So she's our mother. She's our queen. I remember one brother in my community told me, you know, when St. John said she had a crown of 12 stars, he said, Father, we got a 12-star general leading us. I mean, they don't have them that big at SAC. For Air Force Base, they don't have them that high, right? That many stars, right? So Mary is in charge, huh? And she will certainly defend us. That's why we honor her, you know? No Mary, no Jesus. She was faithful all through his life in everything that he endured. She endured it with him. She didn't die physically as a martyr, but Jesus told Bertha Petit, that woman whom he said, my mother has two qualities to her heart. He said, she shared every single sorrow that I endured was reproduced in her heart. So Mary is the mother, the queen of the martyrs. And so we pray to her, because she's also the mother of the church, our mother and the mother of all God's people. So let us pray to ask her to protect us, okay, that the church may endure and be faithful. May Jesus and his Holy Mother bless each and every one of you. Okay. May I ask you to stand for our prayer of the faithful? My brothers and sisters, with confidence we turn to Almighty God. we place before him those intentions that he inspires us to ask for in our hearts. And so we pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, that the Lord will bless and strengthen him, and that he may continue to guide the church in these very troubling times. We pray to the Lord. We pray for all our bishops, Bishop James, all the bishops in the world, that they will be courageous and faithful shepherds. And we pray especially for our bishops here in the United States to protect the church in America, its freedom of religion. We pray to the Lord. Let us pray, for this retreat will help each one of us grow closer to Almighty God and live our Christian life more and more to the full. We pray to the Lord. Let us pray for all the sick and the suffering. Pray for our brothers and sisters who suffer persecution for their faith. Let us pray for those who have strayed from the faith, have lost their way, are caught in lives of sin and disbelief, that the grace of God will call them all back to the loving arms of Christ and into his church again. We pray to the Lord. Let's pray for vocations in the church, to the priesthood, the religious life, for all those called to the married life, for all the ministries of the church, that the Holy Spirit would pour out graces to renew all of these who are called. We pray to the Lord. In a moment of silence, let us add our personal intentions. We pray to the Lord. Now let us place all our intentions, spoken and unspoken, into the loving heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her sorrowful and immaculate heart, as Jesus called her. And we pray to her with great confidence. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having chosen the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, to be the mother of the Church. We ask that we may follow her good example in the practice of virtues, and that like her, we may give you permission to work in our lives so that we may carry out your holy will, the will that you have for each one of us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.